Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you that is the way that you speak to us now. And we pray that we'll be sitting under its authority tonight, that I'll be preaching from the passage, and that it will move us to want to serve you and love you more. Amen. Do you believe Jesus Christ will return? I don't want to catch any of you off guard, so I'll repeat that. Do you believe Jesus Christ will return? If you and I believe that Jesus is coming back, does this fact shape how we live? In our society at large, we hear a different story. I don't know if you've heard the popular online term YOLO. It stands for you only live once. And that's the kind of attitude that our society gears us towards, isn't it? Why do people go and get drunk and experiment with drugs? Well, it's because they want the experience and you only live once. Why do people go and sleep with whoever they want, whenever they want? Because they find satisfaction in sex and you only live once. And why do we get told to do what we want, when we want? Well, we're told that we're only to live for now, that we have this YOLO mentality of you only live once. And this is the way, when somebody lives that way, they don't believe Jesus Christ will return, do they? Do you see how this attitude completely denies the Bible's teaching? Jesus Christ is coming back. And over the past couple of weeks, we've been looking at this section from 1 Thessalonians, which is on page 1188. It would be really good if you could have that open for you. That's 1188. And Paul's writing to a young church in Thessalonica, and that's the second largest city in modern-day Greece, and they're going through a really tough time. So Paul's explaining what difference Jesus Christ's return means to the believer. And he's made it clear that death is not the end. Nobody misses out, because if we're trusting in Jesus, there is life after death. We will see it when he returns. And last week we saw how we can be sure Jesus is coming back, even if we don't know when it will happen. And I guess if you want one takeaway from tonight, or if you only remember one thing, it's this. Jesus Christ is coming back, and that changes how we live now. Jesus Christ is coming back, and that changes how we live now. And we're going to work through the passage tonight under 3 points for those of you taking notes. And the first point is, don't belong to the night. Don't belong to the night. We're going to be looking at verses 6 and 7 for this. But before we do, look down with me at chapter 5, verse 5, which just precedes the passage. Paul describes the Christians of Thessalonica in that verse as sons of the light and sons of the day. So what's this day Paul's talking about? Well, if you've been here over the past few weeks, you will know the day Paul's referring to is the day Christ will return. And the imagery picks up on Jesus' preaching from Isaiah in Matthew 4. No need to turn to it, but there he says, "The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned." Paul's telling us quite simply, as Christians, we belong to a new era. A new day has dawned, completely different to the darkness or the night time that we've lived in before. Jesus Christ is coming back, and if we put our trust in that, it changes everything. And Paul now applies this teaching by telling us what we are not to do and what we are to do. Just have a look at verses 6 and 7 with me now. It says, "So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night." Paul's highlighting here two types of nighttime behaviour: sleeping and getting drunk, both of which show a person who's not alert to Christ's return. Imagine it's a Saturday morning. You've had a long, tough week at work, and throughout that time you've been longing for the lie-in that Saturday will bring. Well, on Friday you go to sleep and you didn't set an alarm. You thought you might skip breakfast. In fact, you didn't know if you'd see morning at all. But at 9 a.m. Saturday morning, the doorbell rings. You go into panic. You make a tentative look around the curtain, and it reveals your family have decided to visit you in the morning. They promised they'd come, but you aren't prepared. You aren't showered. You aren't dressed. You haven't eaten. Are you ready for their arrival? No, not at all. And that's the kind of picture Paul's alluding to in this passage. When you're asleep, you aren't thinking about the day that's coming at all. And it's worth pointing out here that the sleep that Paul refers to isn't like the sleep he's already referred to in the section before. He was talking about death there. But here the idea is that we aren't prepared for Christ's return. We're to be on watch, ready for that day. Paul then goes on to use a second example to make a similar point. He says, those who get drunk at night. We all know that getting drunk ultimately leads to a loss of control over our actions, how we behave, what we say. You only have to be near a pub or a club in Burton on a Saturday night to see that that's the case. But do you see how this is to apply to us? Paul is clearly saying this isn't how we should live. We are the sons of the day. These people don't know about Christ's return, but we do. They won't be part of the new world when Jesus returns, but we will. And therefore, Jesus' return is to govern how we live. So how are we to live? Well, Paul says, get up and get dressed. That's the second point. Get up and get dressed. Have a look at verse 8. It says there, but since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. Paul's now going on to tell us how we get ready. We're to wear the right kind of clothing to equip us for the task at hand. And Paul's wardrobe of choice in this instance is faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet. We're to be clothed with faith, love and the hope of salvation. I think it's worth taking a moment just to have a think about those three attributes. As a Christian, our faith is in Jesus, trusting that we rely on him. And if we rely on him, God will keep his promise to forgive us. And as a Christian, we should have love for our brothers and sisters in Christ. These two aspects are completely essential for a church to work effectively. These truths are to be a breastplate to protect the Thessalonians as they serve Christ in a war zone. They're protected by faith in Jesus and can look forward to a supportive Christian church. The church is being equipped for a battle. And Paul goes on to tell them they also need a hope of salvation as a helmet. Hope of salvation. Do you see what Paul's saying by that phrase? Our salvation is promised now, but will be received in the future. And we need to be sure we'll get it. And Paul says faith, love and hope are the essential clothing designed to see a believer through. We need this clothing to get us to our final destination. It's the dress code to heaven. And that's why, in verses 9 and 10, he explains why we may be sure of this future salvation. Just have a look at that now. It says, for God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us, so that whether we're awake or asleep, we may live together with him. And this should give us confidence. It does give us confidence. Confidence that when Jesus returns, he will be with us forever. Here's a woman who's suffered at the hands of an abusive partner and been left so broken that she wonders how anyone can love her. Well, Jesus loved you enough to die for you, and when he returns, you'll be with him forever. Here's a man who constantly stresses about getting his work, church, home life balance right. Jesus died so that when he returns, you'll be with him forever. Here's another woman suffering with depression, who to get out of bed in the morning can seem a struggle. A girl who has serious self-esteem issues. A boy who's experiencing same-sex attraction. A man who can't control his temper. He's a Christian who's okay but living for now. Jesus died, so you'll be with him in the new world forever. And what will it look like to live with Jesus forever? Three things. Forever forgiven, forever loved, forever secure. I think that's pretty amazing. Our hope is a certain, confident expectation that God loves me enough that he intended to send his son, Jesus Christ, to die for me. He's paid the price for my sins so that I can be with him for eternity. As we think about it, we can't fully comprehend how incredible it is. And it's completely different to the hope that we have in this world. There's no expiry date for the hope of salvation. Jesus is coming back, and that's what I want for us here at St. Peter's, to be united with him. That's what I want. And that's why we're to put on faith, love and hope. And therefore, how should we live now in light of that certain hope? Take a look at verse 11. It says, "Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing." And this leads us to our final point, encourage one another. Encourage one another. Verse 11 begins with the word, therefore. By doing this, Paul clearly indicates that because of this amazing hope we hold, we're to encourage and build one another up as a response. Or, in other words, we're to assist one another in our journey to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. It means we need to learn to be encouragers. It means responding appropriately to our fellow Christians. A hard-working Christian doesn't need a sarcastic comment or a nasty criticism or for their faults to be cherished. A discouraged Christian doesn't need to be told off or gossiped about, but given a sympathetic ear and reminded of the amazing news of the gospel. A lazy Christian might need to be rebuked as he is reminded that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. But we need to keep the hope of Jesus' return clear and at the forefront of our minds. And it's to shape how we relate to people. So if you wouldn't say you're a Christian, see life as it really is. God has a date in his diary for Christ's return. Are you ready for him? And as Christians, we belong to the day. We can be certain that we will be saved and united with Christ. And if that's true, then that news has to shape how we live now. But finally, let me just finish with a note of encouragement. After all, that's what we're called to do here. Let's remember, Paul is writing to a church experiencing severe suffering. Maybe we aren't facing the active persecution the Thessalonian church was, but life's still hard sometimes. Paul tells us the amazing certainty of our hope. He tells us we belong to the day, so we're not to belong to the night. We're to get up, get dressed, and encourage one another. Jesus Christ is coming back, whether the world likes it or not. This time not as a suffering servant walking the road to the cross, but as the glorious King sat at the right hand of the Father. And on that day, a Christian's destination is certain. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the hope of salvation we share here tonight as brothers and sisters in Christ. We thank you that it's a certain hope that ultimately brings us to be united with you. We pray that we'll take on the task of being children of the day, being dressed with faith, love and hope. And we pray that our lives will be governed and shaped by you, eagerly awaiting your return. We bring this to you in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.